All right, guys, welcome back to episode 4 of the Goose is Loose podcast. We've got a pretty good show for you today. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We're going to be talking about Olivia Chow's wild and inconsistent speech to the TTC on November 29th. We're going to be talking about Trudeau's trip down to Mar-a-Lago to meet with President-elect Donald Trump. We're going to be talking about Donald Trump saying that Canada should become 51st and 52nd states of the United States. And we're going to be talking about Pierre Poilievre's non-confidence vote that just went out yesterday. So, sit back, relax, grab a wine, grab a beer, grab a whiskey, do whatever you want. I'll be here for the next 30 minutes for you. Enjoy. Yeah. So on November 29th, the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada, Chrystia Freeland, went to Toronto to speak with the TTC, or Toronto Transit Commission, and Olivia Chow, the mayor of Toronto, to give Toronto $758 million in funding for a new Line 2 of subway trains. So we're going to take a look at Olivia Chow and her marvelous and inspiring speech that was given when Chrystia Freeland and the corrupt cabinet of the Trudeau Liberals announced this on November 29th. So let's take a look.
Toronto, we are ordering 55 subway cars. Yippee! Yes, I am so excited. You know, a lot of the riders have been saying, gee, the subway cars are old. Sometimes not the most reliable. Sometimes it's slowed down. Sometimes the tracks or the signals may not be working perfectly. And 6 years ago, the former CEO said, we need a capital investment plan. And the subway cars are one of the things that got identified. You know why it's important to have new cars? It's not just about the new cars. It means that we can now install, once the car is delivered, advanced train control. What's that? That means using GPS. Imagine that, using GPS. Isn't it time that we use GPS so that the cars can come more frequently?
What? This lady's a maniac. Is she on drugs? I couldn't understand a single word of that. That is the official mayor of Toronto. What? Toronto. What? How and why is she the mayor of Toronto? She looks coked up. She really does. Let's take a look at all the funny clips of Olivia Chow throughout the years. Enjoy. Now, for those of you listening, that was videos of Olivia Chow dancing in costume and at a pride event. And each time, she's with a drag queen. So, Olivia Chow is crazy. So, Trudeau went down to Mar-a-Lago just a few days ago to visit President-elect Donald Trump. And the overall meeting and dinner of it was rather civil, and from both sides, from Trudeau and Trump, they were both saying that it was a good time, it was a good dinner, and conversation was had. However, Trump did not allow Trudeau to stay at Mar-a-Lago. Mar-a-Lago is a hotel. Mar-a-Lago has a lot of rooms. Trump didn't allow Trudeau to stay there. I think that's absolutely hilarious. Now, Pierre Poilievre, the official leader of the opposition, the Conservative Party of Canada, went on to Global News today and essentially said that it was a sign of weakness, and I couldn't agree more. So go ahead and check this out and tell me what you think.
The question about the meeting, look, I just felt, well, while I'm a critic of Mr. Trudeau's, I did feel badly that he went in with such a position of weakness. Normally when a prime minister goes to the United States to meet a president, they're looking to make gains. What gains did we hear from Mr. Trudeau? None. He's just trying to limit losses. Did he come back saying we're going to get an exemption to Buy America, like Harper achieved? Bush? Nope. Buy America is still in place. Did he say we're going to get an end to the softwood lumber tariffs, like Prime Minister Harper got from President Bush? No, not only are they still in place, Biden just doubled them. All Justin Trudeau offers is minimizing losses. Now, this is the consequence of having a weak Prime Minister who's lost control of our borders, lost control of immigration, lost control of crime and drugs, and lost control of our economy. And Canadians are paying a dreadful price for everything that Justin Trudeau has broken. And we need a strong Prime Minister who has the brains and backbone to put Canada first and to fight for our workers and our security.
It is a massive sign of weakness. It really is. He came back with absolutely nothing. The only thing he came back with were signs of good peace. There was no momentum change, nothing. So let's take a look at Donald Trump's post on X. And we're also going to take a look at Justin Trudeau's post and compare them. All right, before we do that, we're going to discuss Donald Trump saying that we should be the 51st and 52nd state of the United States. Do I think he's serious? No. But at the same time, he wants to see Canadians do good. He wants to see Americans do good first and foremost, but he wants to see his allies, including Canada, to do good. He doesn't want to see us go down a shithole. Like we already are. We've been living in an absolute shit-infested country for 10 years now. He doesn't want to see that anymore. He's using these tariffs as a way for Justin to get his shit together. He's not threatening everyday Canadians. He's threatening Justin Trudeau that if he doesn't get his shit together, there's going to be hell to pay. And good on him. Now, do I really want to become part of the States? No. I'm a patriotic Canadian. But would I love the First and Second Amendment? Hell yeah. Seeing what Trudeau just said yesterday about the banning of assault rifles in Canada. Now, we've had very, very tight gun laws for 10 years, maybe longer. But to go out and ban assault rifles, him meaning hunting rifles, it's not looking good for everyday Canadians. The government takes your weapons before they start infringing on more of your rights. And I fear that's what's coming. So on January 20th, in 45 days, when Donald Trump takes office, Justin Trudeau had better start getting his shit together. So, Donald Trump posted on X. He says, I just had a very productive meeting with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada, where we discussed many important topics that require both countries to work together to address, like the fentanyl and drug crisis that has decimated so many lives as a result of illegal immigration, fair trade deals that do not jeopardize American workers, and the massive trade deficit that the U.S. has with Canada. I made it very clear that the United States will no longer sit idly by as our citizens become victims to the scourge of this drug epidemic, caused mainly by the drug cartels and fentanyl pouring in from China. too much death and hardship. Prime Minister Trudeau has made a commitment to work with us to end this terrible devastation of U.S. families. We also spoke about many other important topics like energy, trade, and the Arctic. All are vital issues that I will be addressing on my first days back in office and before. And Justin Trudeau's post is rather different. He shares nothing about what the conversation was, and there's really no point of this post on X. So I'll just read it out to you. It's a two-sentence post with a picture of Justin and Trump. So, Justin goes on to say, "Thanks for dinner last night, President Trump. I look forward to the work we can do together again." Those are two vastly different posts. I don't have to be a genius to point that out. Donald Trump said exactly what the dinner was over. Trudeau was like a little kid in a candy store, didn't know what the hell to do, and try to look cool. It's ridiculous. Now, what I find hilarious is that Donald Trump wrote a book just after his last presidency. And in this book, there's a snippet on Justin Trudeau. I'm going to read it out to you, and I genuinely laughed my ass off when I first read this. It is so funny, and it is so true. Just wait for this. "Justin Trudeau and I got along very well, but there were natural differences in that he is very liberal and I, to put it mildly, am not. It will be very interesting to see how we do in the future, but first I have to get there. His mother was beautiful and wild. In the 1970s she would go clubbing with the Rolling Stones, but she was also somehow associated with Fidel Castro. She said he was the sexiest man I've ever met, and a lot of people say that Justin is his son. He swears that he isn't, but how the hell would he know? Castro had good hair, the father didn't. Justin has good hair, and has become a communist, just like Castro." Canadians have been saying for years, 9 years, maybe even 10, that Justin Trudeau looks exactly like Fidel Castro. It's honestly hilarious to see that Donald Trump wrote this in his book in like 21. It's so funny because Donald Trump resonates with all of us Canadians. He understands that Canadians do not like Trudeau, but he's just an asshole. Donald Trump is just an asshole, but he's so funny. He is so funny. If you don't laugh at the stupid shit Donald Trump does, you've got no sense of humor. He's a genuinely funny guy. Justin Trudeau is a freaking idiot, man. He really is a genuine idiot. I'll play you a little snippet of Justin Trudeau giving speeches, but not the full speeches. You'll see what I mean.
"You'll be running against Stephen Harper in the next election."
I think so. We don't worry too much about it, though. It's very much on you know what? I'll let the conservatives figure that one out.
Oh wow, that was just one interview. One interview, that wasn't a compilation of 9 years worth of Trudeau for his interviews. That was one standalone interview. Shut up. He's such a phony. Man, like, what the hell? How have we kept this guy in office for 9 years? He's just ridiculously stupid. He's not a good talker. Sure, he has good hair. Shut up. So Pierre Poilievre just put forward another motion for a non-confidence vote. This is twice in 2 weeks. The way he went about it is probably the funniest thing ever. He used Jagmeet Singh's words against him and said that the House completely agrees with Jagmeet's words, his position on everything, and he was just an asshole about it, and I think it's the best thing that he could do. Number one, if Jagmeet does not vote alongside this non-confidence vote, it makes him look like a lunatic and a loser. Nobody's going to trust a word he says anymore. He said these words to a union that were striking, and now he's going to have to stand up or shut up. Two, Pierre said that Melanie Joly, the foreign minister of Canada, was trying to undermine him, and he brought fact after fact after fact, and it was hilarious. I'm going to play the clip now. It's a rather long clip, but I encourage you to sit through it, and we'll have a little discussion after the fact, but it is so funny. Enjoy.
Orders of the day.
Government orders, business of supply, consideration of an opposition motion standing in the name of Mr. Poilievre, confidence in the Prime Minister and the government.
Mr. Poilievre, seconded by Mr. Muse, moves that I, whereas the leader of the New Democratic Party, said he ripped up his supply and confidence agreement with the Liberal government. Two, whereas the NDP leader said the Liberals are too weak, too selfish, and too beholden to corporate interests to fight for people. And three, whereas the NDP leader said the Liberal government will always cave to corporate greed and always step up to make sure the unions have no power, in response to the Liberal Labour Minister's referral to the Canadian Industrial Relations Board that ordered the workers of the Teamsters Canada Rail Conference and the ILWU 514 to resume their duties, violating their right to strike. Therefore, the House agrees with the NDP leader that the House proclaims it has lost the confidence in the Prime Minister and the government. The Honourable Member for the Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition.
I rise today in a spirit of non-partisanship. Put our differences aside and take a good idea and a good perspective, no matter where it comes from. You know, too often in this place, we refuse to accept ideas or input from other people. And so I thought I would remedy that by taking the words and the message of the leader of the NDP, putting them in a conservative motion so that all of us could vote for the very wise things that he said. So allow me, in the spirit of this nonpartisan spirit, to read off the motion that we have here. Common sense conservative motion, whereas the NDP, leader of the NDP said he has ripped up his supply and confidence agreement with the Liberal government, whereas the NDP leader said the Liberals are too weak, too selfish, and too beholden to corporate interests to fight for people, whereas the NDP leader said the Liberal government will always cave to corporate greed and always step in to make sure the unions have no power. And he said that in response to the Liberal Labour Minister's referral to the Canadian Labour Relations Industrial Relations Board that ordered the workers of Teamsters Canada Rail Conference and the ILWU 514 to resume their duties, violating their right to strike. Therefore, the House agrees with the NDP leader, and the House proclaims that it has lost confidence in the Prime Minister and the government. The NDP leader. I know that he is enjoying the praise we're giving him. So let's go through point by point, as I know the member for Stormont Dundas, South Glengarry, will take up as I'm splitting my time with him. But let's go through point by point to prove the charge of the NDP leader. He says the Liberals are too weak. Well, he's right about that. The economy is weak, having lost $500 billion of net investment out to the United States, having shrunk the last eight quarters in a row on a per capita basis, having seen the productivity per hour worked in Canada drop for six quarters in a row. Our economy is now smaller than it was 10 years ago, and we've gone from having median incomes equal to American median incomes to the present, where the American worker makes $22,000 more. Our economy is shrinking in per capita terms, The cost of living is out of reach. We have 2 million people lined up at food banks. We have double the housing costs, the worst housing price inflation in the G7. Vancouver and Toronto are the most expensive housing markets on planet Earth, in all of North America. And so we recognize that economically the Liberals have made the country weak. And then there's politically weak.
Right.
And this Prime Minister has lost the support not only of Canadians, who overwhelmingly want to fire him, but of his own party. In fact, the Liberal leader in Ontario has said that his carbon tax is wrong. How could she not say that? It will quadruple over the next 5 years, bringing economic nuclear winter to our country, emptying our shelves of groceries, driving even more people into starvation. Then the Liberal Premier of Newfoundland has said that the Prime Minister's energy cap will kill jobs in that province. And then 20 Liberal MPs want to fire him, but it's also gone to his own cabinet. You know, right in the middle of a potential trade dispute with incoming President Trump, you would assume that the foreign minister of all ministers, if she were to appear in the New York Times, would be doing so to fight against the tariffs. But instead, she was in the New York Times with the following headline: New York Times tapped by the Prime Minister to steer foreign affairs. She's now his possible successor. That is the foreign minister.
Point of order from the Deputy House Leader.
He's not even remotely good at what he's trying to do. You know he's trying to use a prop, Mr. Speaker. Can you please call?
No. The Honourable Leader of the Official Opposition, I'll just remind him to keep that down.
Mr. Speaker, for him to dismiss the foreign minister in that way is outrageous. Yeah. The reality is she's the one who chose to go to a photo shoot in a studio with the New York Times in an article about how she is the possible successor to her own boss. So you would expect a foreign minister, of all ministers, would be busy fighting tariffs with our biggest trading partner. Instead, she's fighting to replace her boss. On penserait qu'un...
You might think that a minister of foreign affairs would be working hard to prevent tariffs. But instead, she went to the New York Times for a long article which spoke of her as a possible replacement to her leader. That shows weakness.
Right. The leader, the Liberal Prime Minister, is weak. Is he selfish? Well, Mr. Speaker, what else could you call it? When he's treated himself to illegal vacations to private islands, when he's lavished himself with constant gifts and benefits, when he's shut down Parliament numerous times to cover up scandals, while he's refusing to allow Canadians to see to have accountability for the $400 million missing dollars in the Green Slush Fund scandal, and while he protects his own trust fund from the tax increases he imposes on everyone else, one can only think that this is selfish. And while, most of all, he stays in power, even seeing the devastating consequences this is having on the lives of everyday Canadians, that is nothing if not selfish. And then we move to the charge that the NDP leader makes, that the Prime Minister is attacking the rights of workers. Mr. Speaker, of this there is no doubt. We see the leader of the NDP. He's gone to rallies at places where courageous workers are striking in order to recuperate many of the lost wages that have resulted from government-induced inflation.
Exactly.
We know we had more strikes last year than in any year since 1983, a 40-year high. We have, of course, Canada Post workers on strike, doing that strike now lasting a long time and doing incredible damage to small business. Hopefully it will come to an end soon. But the NDP leader showed up at these strikes and said, and I quote, "If there is any vote in Parliament that in any way impacts your rights, we are going to vote no. I can tell you right now, we'll vote no, whether that vote is a confidence vote or not, whether that vote triggers an election or not. I'm telling the Prime Minister and the Liberals right now, you're never going to count on us if you're going to take away the rights of workers. Never," he said, Mr. Speaker. What a powerful statement. Never, and absolutely categorical. So surely he would vote on this motion, keeping his word to those workers, or was he looking them straight in the eye and telling them a plain falsehood? Will he go back to them after this vote and tell them that when it came down to putting his vote where his words was, he just didn't have the courage, that he was under too much pressure, that the fear of losing an election and facing the voters and facing the music for his own record was too much for him, and therefore he backed down and he turned his back on those workers and left them out in the cold? Is that what he's going to tell those union workers, Mr. Speaker?
Right.
And if so, how will they ever believe anything he says to them again?
Right.
The answer is that they, of course, could not. But if the NDP leader does decide to vote against his own words, it will mean two things. One, that he does not want to take responsibility for his own record. He doesn't want voters to have the ability to judge his record and his plans, because he fears that they will render a verdict that is not in his favor. The second thing we'll reveal is that in the next election, there are not five parties running, there are not four parties running, there are two parties running.
That's right.
There is the NDP Bloc Liberal coalition that tax your food, punish your work, double your housing cost, unleash crime and chaos in your community, or common sense conservatives who will axe the tax, build the homes, fix the budget, and stop the crime. That is the choice.
That's right.
It is a binary choice. You vote for the NDP, you get the Liberals. You vote for the Liberals, you get the NDP. You vote for the Bloc, you get both the NDP and the Liberals. And if you are among the grand majority of Canadians who is unsatisfied with the downward spiral of our country, with the broken borders, broken immigration system, broken economy, if you want to bring home Canada's promise again and restore a country where hard work earns a powerful paycheck and pension that buys affordable food and homes in safe neighborhoods, where anyone from anywhere can do anything in the freest nation on earth, in Canada,
here.
Then let's bring it home.
Here, here.
Simply incredible. Pierre is our next leader. He really is. He's going to be the next Prime Minister of Canada. He's a fantastic person, a fantastic leader, a fantastic speaker. It's our next leader. It really is. How we went about that, calling out, you know, if you vote for the Liberals, you vote for the NDP. If you vote for the NDP, you vote for the Liberals. What I found interesting is he called out the Bloc as well. And he made a very, very true statement. If you vote for the Bloc, you vote for the NDP and Liberals. It's never been truer. They are not a majority in the House. There'll never be a majority in the House. NDP really isn't that much. But if you vote for the NDP, you vote for the Liberals. If you vote for the Liberals, you vote for the NDP. Pierre Poilievre and the Conservative Party will be leading this country in 2025, if not sooner. Do I think this non-confidence vote is going to go through? No, not one bit. But I think that's almost a good thing. Because I think if Jagmeet Singh does not vote in favor, even though this entire movement is using his words, it makes him look like a lunatic. Makes him look like a loser. Like a genuine dirtbag for lying to these people when he said, in front of their face, these words to striking Canadians, hard-working, blue-collar Canadians, he said this to their face. Another thing that I absolutely find hilarious is when Mark Garrettson stood up and called a point of order for Pierre Poilievre using a prop. Now, for those of you listening, Pierre Poilievre was holding up the New York Times publication of Melanie Jolie on the front page of the New York Times. He's an asshole. But he's our asshole. He's going to fight for Canada. He's going to fight for Canadians. Put Canadians first. And be the leading member of Team Canada. We need Poilievre. So guys, that's going to do it for me for episode 4. Thank you so much for joining today. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to listen. Love each other. Love yourself. Tell your family you love them. And we'll see you in episode 5. Peace.